The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Titans moving on from Craig Aukerman yesterday. Mike Vrabel announcing that at his press conference. Craig Aukerman fired after the debacle on special teams from the Titans on Sunday against the Colts. One punt blocked. Another one, Joe, technically wasn't blocked, but the rusher got back there so quickly that it counted as a rushing attempt for Ryan Stonehouse. Now Ryan Stonehouse is going to be out the rest of the year. He's having surgery, so you've lost your punter for the remainder of the year. So the Titans moving on from Craig Aukerman yesterday. And as we discussed earlier, when they made the move, I wasn't necessarily surprised just because of how bad it was on Sunday, but it did get me thinking back to a conversation we had before the news was announced yesterday, which is, you know, if the Titans did decide to move on from Craig Aukerman, was that going to be a Mike Vrabel decision? Was that going to be an Amy Adams Strunk decision? Because Vrabel has never fired a coach in season before. Which does not mean that he wouldn't do it, and does not mean that that's not a conclusion that he couldn't come to on his own, but he hadn't done it to this point, and there is no history to suggest that that would be something that he would like to do. So Aukerman fired yesterday. My first thought was, okay, was that a Vrabel decision, or was that a decision maybe from up top with Amy Adams Strunk and the ownership saying, hey, Mike, I need you to go ahead and move on from the special teams coordinator today after the debacle on Sunday. I don't know what the answer is. It may very well be as simple as Vrabel saying, yeah, we got to make a change after what we saw against the Colts. But that was the first thought I had when I saw the Aukerman news. What do you think about Vrabel and the decision to fire Craig Aukerman yesterday as he announced at the press conference?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's better for the Titans and for Titans fans if this was Mike Vrabel's decision, because you just – the better franchises have owners that don't meddle in things like this. And the bad franchises have owners who do meddle in things like this. I mean, look, I understand like the Cowboys are still good, but also when's the last time the Cowboys won anything? You know, I don't think it's a coincidence, and they'll blow it this year too. But you know, we know that Amy Armstrong fired John Robinson in season last year, which was a meddling, reactive owner move, and it would kind of change. Like, you know, I think it sort of changed a little bit. Like, okay, whoa, what's going on here with ownership? I think it's also, you look at the situation, and that was not only a game lost because of completely inexcusable special teams mistakes. It was a key player hurt because of completely inexcusable special teams mistakes. So I think I'm not a huge fan of firing coaches in season. I think unless there's some sort of huge personal issue going on, because I think you hamstring yourself. I mean, you know, you got to, that's, I asked Vrabel with the division of labor, and he said, you know, basically like it'll be fine, but it's like, well, you have three people doing this. Now you have two, and the guy who's in charge is gone. So I would think that would strain things to some extent, but I don't know. Not a big fan of it, but I think in a situation like this, I get it. You do see this sometimes in the NFL. You just have something so bad on a particular day that that there's a reaction to it. And if Vrabel, if it's purely independent on Vrabel's part, then, then that's the first time for him. But it's still a short coaching life for Mike Vrabel in the NFL, you know? So I would imagine it won't be the last if he's going to coach for another 10 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, probably not. And, you know, when you have something as bad as it was on Sunday, it's hard to justify, in my opinion, keeping it going moving forward, other than what you just brought up. I mean, you're 4-8, and the end of the season is right around the corner anyway. So, I mean, I guess you could have just rolled through the next five games, but when it's as bad as it was on Sunday, I think you got a fan base that's looking around saying, what in the heck's going on out there? Probably an owner that's looking around and saying, what in the heck's going on out there with the special teams part of this? So I'm not necessarily surprised that the Titans made the decision that they did yesterday. And now, you know, Tom Quinn is stepping in and is taking over as special teams coordinator in the meantime. And I would assume, I mean, I guess they could give the job to Tom Quinn full time after this year, but I would assume there's going to be a search of some kind for special teams coordinator when the season ends here with Vrabel. It is going to be interesting. Like we had a texter text this in earlier. Like what happens if the Titans like return a punt for a touchdown or block a punt on Monday night against the Dolphins? Just immediate returns on the special teams. Would be interesting to see.
Tom Quinn, baby.
Tom
Taking
Quinn.
Over. Yeah. Well, so I'm trying to think. Okay, so Aukerman was gone in 16. Yeah, Aukerman had been there with Wisenhunt, left for a year and came back, right? I think that's right. Yeah. Because I was going to say, was that Aukerman who took over for Bobby April? The circle of NFL life, but no, it was not. And I can't recall who the assistant was back then. If anybody does, let me know. Look, the thing with Aukerman is, you can do better, right? Like, they haven't been special on special teams. And it is a huge part of, like, think about the Ravens and what they've been able to do over a long period of time. Special teams has been a big part of that. They've taken pride in it. They've had a lot of success. They've had game-changing plays in special teams. I know it's different to go to college, from the NFL to college. Speaking of college, Jared's just absolutely blowing me up on this Florida State crap. I'm so sorry I brought his name up.
ACC bubble.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, Virginia Tech, for all those years, Beamer ball, man. I mean, they made so many huge plays in special teams to change games. It was a big part of their brand. I mean, even like Alabama, defensive and special teams touchdowns. Now, you know, is that also because they have, like, better players all over the field? Yeah, but I think it's still a point of emphasis. So you can do better. It just, to me, like, nothing was fireable, in my opinion, with Aukerman until this year. And the Ravens game, whether it cost you the game or not, it's an absolutely egregious mistake for no one to be able to say, hey, man, we should not touch this ball. There's no value in doing it. And again, it goes to Vrabel too.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to count on your special teams coordinator to figure that out. Like, this is all he's doing is focusing on special teams. Like, in that moment, how are you not looking at the situation and say, Kyle, come on. Or Kyle, go back there, but do not touch the ball. That's ridiculous. And then Sunday was ridiculous too. Those are fireable performance issues. But prior to that, I did not think there were any, but you can be better. So this is an opportunity to be better.
It's an opportunity to be better. And look, I will say, we talked about this earlier, like the punt blocks are one thing. Obviously those things can't happen, but like, when's the last time the Titans made like a game changing play, whether it's in the return game or, you know, forcing a fumble on the kickoff? Like, they did that the first play of the game this year, right? Like, Amani Hooker goes down.
That's right.
And punches the ball out, and the Titans get the ball, and I think they moved back 8 yards on that drive and then kicked the field goal.
they did.
But they got the ball
back.
Sign
of things to come.
They got the ball back on special teams. I mean, we just haven't seen a ton of that, right? Like, and I know, look, kickoffs around the league, it's almost getting to the point where it's a waste of time to even do it, because you're either kicking the ball through the end zone, or now especially that they've got the fair catch rule where you can just fair catch it and get the ball at the 25. Like, you know, it just kind of is what it is. So the kickoff part of it, I think, is a league-wide thing where there's just not very many plays to be made on that part. But there's no question, like, they just haven't really been impactful in a positive way. And I'm with you, like, from a specialist standpoint, and we talked about this when things were going wrong with the Titans, so I think we got to continue to have the conversation when things are going right. Like, Ryan Stonehouse, before the injury this year, punting the ball really well. Nick Folk kicking the ball really well. I don't give Craig Aukerman credit for that in the same way I don't give Craig Aukerman blame for the fact that they couldn't find a field goal kicker for 5 years around here because they just kept trotting people in and out.
Right. No one's saying would. But some people need to constantly scream about this scapegoat or that scapeout. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of these things, these special teams issues, specialists in particular, goes to some combination of Robinson and Vrabel. And there's some bad luck with, you know, like the suck-up timing, all that stuff. But, again, yeah. You wait that out, and you got him still as a really good kicker for a while. And then quick trigger on getting rid of other kickers who have gone on to other places and be really good. Is that more Robinson, more Vrabel? I don't know, but it's not Aukerman. Aukerman's not telling those guys what they're going to do in those situations. He works with the specialists. And even then, he's had an amazing season this year working with Nick Folk, apparently.
I got a text from our buddy Jared Stillman that I'll read quickly. Joe just said, nothing was fireable with Aukerman until this year. I played a cut from 5 years ago of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman literally calling Aukerman out for crappy special teams. Joe just needs to say, Jared was right, and move on. This is from Jared on my personal text line. Joe was right. Okay. Or excuse me, Jared was right.
Wait, he said 5 years ago he has Aikman and Buck?
He does.
What game? Okay. I want to hear it. I have no. Again, if you're not perfect, I mean, offensive coordinators every game have failures and successes or whatever, right? Like, I don't even understand how he's been looking at this. But look, Aukerman got fired. Jared's been crying for it. So Jared got his way. I think it's more that Jared got his way. Right? I think that's the right way to say it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your reaction to the Titans firing Craig Aukerman yesterday. We'll get to some injury updates that Mike Vrabel had as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Jags unable to do anything with outstanding field position to begin that drive.
Batson muffs it, able to get back on it, and in the end zone where they're going to mark him, it's a safety. And the first points of the game for Jacksonville. He mucked it initially, touched it well outside the five, and then went backward into the end zone and was swarmed.
He muffs it, and then once he's able to recover it, just stay in play. Just get up the field. You know, a game like this, the turnovers, the special teams obviously plays a big role, and they do here right now with 2 points.
Well, for Tennessee, they're coming off a brutal week. Craig Aukerman was hearing about his special teams. He's the coordinator. They had a punt blocked, a blocked extra point. They gave up a 61-yard kick return to the Jets. Overcame all that and got a win, but now they just handed Jacksonville 2 points.
There you go. There's the clip from Joe Buck and Troy Aikman from what I assume is the Tennessee-Jacksonville Thursday night game where Derrick Henry broke off the 99-yarder. I guess that's the same game.
Was that Batson? Was that Cam Batson?
Cam Batson.
Oh, my goodness. They did invoke Aukerman's name. Oh, Aukerman!
So there you go. He's got the clip.
He's always got the audio. He's got the audio.
Your response.
First of all. Well, my response, first of all, I don't remember all that stuff from the Jets game. So that's a bad week. That's a bad week, no doubt. Sounds like a bad week. You know, I'll take the Batson play, for example. And, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like, it's a little different, but we all rip on Andre Dillard, right? And he gets beat for a sack. It's like, oh, my God, how could you do that? You know what to do, but... You know, whatever it is, you let him, he's a speed rush, you let him outside, whatever it is, you guys didn't pick up the twist, terrible performance. Is it that, or do you blame the offensive line coach? Like someone like Batson making a decision like that in the field of play. I mean, look, I'm not saying there's no accountability there for Aukerman, but for the most part, that's the player in the moment. Like, dude, you can't, or Phillips, like, catch the ball, right? If he catches the ball
right,
in practice.
But can't you make that argument about, like, every coach ever? Like, you know, they've got – you know, the players eventually are the ones that have to make the plays, regardless of who the coach is. But, like, that doesn't stop coaches around the league from getting fired all the time.
No, I agree. That's fine. But I still distinguish a play like that from Sunday, right? Because Sunday is your schematic. It's the scheme of your blocking, what they do, what you've studied, what the adjustments are, who is your personal protector. Like, the whole operation, that to me is absolutely on the special teams coach. Whereas one player making a stupid mistake, you know, it's a little bit like you have to put some on the player. And I guess you could say, you know, put it on Josh Wiley. But ultimately, like, you have to be prepared for whatever they're going to do. And they looked like they had no clue. And they twice let it happen. So I'm just saying, I separate the Sunday's special teams gaffes from a lot of these other ones. You give up a return. Well, I mean, you give up a return. That goes to the special teams coach, too. Sometimes that's a player making a mistake. But these are like, this is stuff that you don't normally see in the NFL because 99% of the time, punt teams freaking block the other team and let their punter get the punt away, yes. Right? So
agreed.
There's different categories of gaffe. This was egregiously bad.
There's no question about it. It's egregiously bad. And, you know, the Baltimore game, like the decision, and we talked about this at the time. Like, yes, it's on Vrabel too, right? Because they trotted Kyle Phillips out there in the Baltimore game. And Vrabel could have said, hey, guys, what are you doing? Like, just don't send anybody out there. There's nothing good that could come from trying to field this punt. But that's also why you have a special teams coordinator. Like, why are you sending him out there in that situation knowing that nothing positive can come from it based on the time left on the clock and the way that game was going? You know, you gift-wrapped Baltimore 3 points in that game. Okay, so that's an Aukerman thing too. You know, the Saints game earlier this year, they got a punt blocked. Like, it partially blocked. I think it ended up going, like, a couple yards past the line of scrimmage. So, it doesn't technically count as a punt block in the stat sheet that way. But they got the punt blocked. So, there have been special teams gaffes this year that have been bad. And culminated by what we saw on Sunday, Aukerman finally ends up being the one to pay the price for it at that point. So, I have no problem with what the Titans did yesterday. I think, you know, eventually – enough is enough. I am more on your side, though, that I think the egregious nature of it really, in my opinion, hasn't been there for the most part until this season. I do agree with you there.
Thank you for saying that.
You're
Jared,
welcome.
Are you listening? Jared, are you listening? Jared got his way, and it's got to be, you know, for Vrabel. Because, like, yeah, we talked about this. I don't really think Vrabel, you know, was like, totally belittling Jared during the presser last year. Now this year, when he's like a dude, that was a lot more like that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he's making a little joke. But it's got to be. I mean, this has got to be a tough one for Vrabel to, you know, to, because he defended Downing after 1 year, but it was 1 year, and it still wasn't a complete disaster with the offense. But the offense still had AJ Brown in Downing's first year, you know. Last year, it was kind of becoming apparent by the end of the year that he was going to have to move on from him. But the Aukerman stuff it's been a long time, and he did defend him a year ago. And then Aukerman came out, and to me, like it's different this year than it has been. So regardless, he's gone. Some people speculating that, you know, if it had to be Vrabel, because if he didn't make this decision, he would quit if Amy made him do it. Yeah, he's not forfeiting the years left and the millions of dollars left on his contract. Some coaches just say you have to eat it sometimes in this league from ownership. But I will say that Vrabel is a commodity in the NFL.
He is.
And so if you want to bring it to like last week's discussion about Vrabel, the Patriots, and all that stuff, like if I'm Vrabel and I'm forced to do things like this, then I am looking around. Because it's just that's not how ownership should be. Who's the best owner in the NFL? What's the best owning family in the NFL?
Rooney's.
Absolutely. Period. And you know what? That, like, the in-season firing was the first time since, what was it, 1940 or something like that? Something just absurd. You know why? Because they don't meddle. They hire good people, and they let them do their jobs. That's what you need to do as an NFL owner. So I hope that's what is happening here, and that Vrabel made this decision independently, and this information is different than the previous information on Aukerman. And if that's the case, then, you know, at 4-8, taking a coach out at this point, let's be realistic about this season. You know, it doesn't it matters to them. They're going to work hard. They're going to try to play. They're going to try to win, but it doesn't matter like it would if they were in a playoff race.
Jim Irsay probably a close second to the Rooneys, you know, in terms of like the owner power rankings in the NFL. Probably number
yes.
two.
Yes. I would love an owner power rankings, like, for, you know, because I don't know a bunch of stuff about, you know, Paul Allen or whatever. Like, Yeah, well, I'd tell you about the Fords. Oh. Thing is, I actually think Sheila Hamp Ford seems like a competent person, which is probably part of why they are where they are. But a power rankings of NFL ownership in terms of, like, going through all their moves, and, you know, that would be fascinating.
It would be.
I think the Rooneys would easily be first.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. Speaking of, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 14 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Also, make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders will take on Missouri State at the Murphy Center with pregame beginning at 6 o'clock, tip-off at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, a couple other nuggets from Vrabel's press conference yesterday. Stonehouse going to be out the rest of the year after having surgery. I don't think a big surprise there, so the Titans have to find a punter this week. By the way, Chasing Big Joe asked Brett Kern about the idea of coming back to punt, and doesn't sound like there's a ton of interest there. Said he's retired for a reason, and he's in pickleball and basketball shape right now, not necessarily football punting shape. So I don't know.
I heard that.
Yeah.
And he kind of said that I'm retired for a reason. Then Big Joe's like, you didn't actually answer. And then he didn't actually say no.
Vrabel said they could call him. He was asked about Kern yesterday by Corey Curtis. He's, you know, everybody, and they're all options. So who knows? Maybe we could see a return to glory for Brett Kern.
That'd be fun. But it sounds like he's pretty far away, to your point, when he's talking about he went up and punted with his kids 15 times and he's all, you know.
Well, if you're him, other than the allure of, I guess, some NFL game checks coming in again, which could be a nice allure, you know, the Titans are not making the playoffs. So it's not like, you know, you're competing for a Super Bowl if you're Brett Kern.
Right, like last year, would have been awesome to see him get a ring along with A.J. Brown. Sorry for the folks who hate A.J. Brown. But, you know, that's why you come back,
right?
You know. Go be with a contender and see if you can make a run.
Yeah, and then He does live here, no question. Then the other bit of news from the press conference yesterday, Jeffrey Simmons not going to be available against Miami, going to be out a couple weeks at least, and we'll see what that looks like and where the Titans are team-wise when they get through all that. But no Jeffrey Simmons this week against Miami. And then on the Derrick Henry front, you know, it looked like he was in concussion protocol. He leaves the game in the fourth quarter against Indianapolis, does not return. Adam Schefter put it out there yesterday morning that he was in concussion protocol. And Mike Vrabel clarifying at his press conference that he's not, in fact, in concussion protocol and that he's feeling great. And I guess if things keep tracking the way they are right now, he's going to be ready. He's going to be available on Monday as they take on the Dolphins. So kind of an interesting situation with Henry. He gets pulled from the game, but apparently Joe is not actively in concussion protocol.
Yeah, it's interesting. I asked about that, sort of like how that works. And so I had a misconception about, you know, when a player gets flagged and pulled from a game. I thought, I thought that would already mean that symptoms are in play, you know what I mean, have happened, but he got checked and he's okay, and it sounds like he's gonna play. And, you know, that's good for, well, it's good for him. First of all, he's close to 1,000. So, I mean, of the things left this season, you start with, of course, number 8, Will Levis, how he plays. Can you keep him healthy? Can you see progress? I think Treylon Burks is another big storyline the rest of the way. Some people roll their eyes, but it is. Like, you invested a first-round pick. He has talent. He has the desire to be great. Can he be healthy and can he produce? I think those are two big things. But then also Derrick Henry. I don't think he's going to win a rushing title. He is second in the NFL at 841, but McCaffrey's sitting there at 1032. So almost a 200-yard gap between Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey. But shoot, I mean, Derrick can still get a 1,200-yard season potentially.
Yep.
You know, certainly can get another 1,000-yard season to add to his, to the Hall of Fame resume. So, and he keeps moving up the charts. I think he's 15, tied for 15th now in rushing touchdowns. He's past 9,000 yards, on his way to 10,000 yards. So I think Derrick Henry, just his, how he finishes and all that is a, and Derrick Henry on the field, of course, helps with the Will Levis project too. You know, it's good for Levis to have 22 on the field.
Are you convinced that the Titans should bring Derrick Henry back next season? Because there's been a lot of discourse on that in terms of what they should do. He's approaching 30, you know, all the typical running back conversations that we have. I think it makes some sense to bring him back, but that's just me.
I do too. And I think, I think it makes sense for Derrick Henry to look around. Because if you're Derrick Henry, one, you want to see what the market is. You want to get the absolute most out of this, and you should. And there could be a team that says, you know what, he would be perfect here, and you know they're going to pay him more than I think he'll get out there. I mean, I hope that happens for his sake. But I think I think the Titans should be there if it works out like I think it probably will out there, and he fits here. He's a leader here. And I think that Henry Spears as more of a 1A, 1B is a fine way to go next year. What I think they are different players. I think they complement each other pretty well. And I think it'd be a good situation. And it would not cost a lot. Sadly for Derrick Henry, it won't cost the Titans a lot. Dennis says Derrick Henry doesn't go into concussion protocol. Concussions go into Derrick Henry protocol. Yes, Dennis.
Maybe so. Maybe so. It is weird though that he gets pulled from the game and then is apparently just fine. Like he's like, all right, well, like I know, look, I get it. Right. You know, we treat concussions and head injuries way differently than we used to, which I think is a really good thing long term in all sports. But it is pretty strange to me that he gets pulled from a game but apparently was just fine the whole time.
Yeah, I can't think of another example of that where someone was pulled out and then they're not in concussion protocol after that. Now, if there is an example, someone let me know. I don't recall that. It's definitely a rarity. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, however that turned out, he'll be available. Jeff Simmons won't be available. I imagine the one way the Titans are going to hold the Dolphins under, well, I mean, they're going to hit the 30s in this game, aren't they?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to say this, and then this defense is going to hold them to 17 or something. But
well, nice defensive performance and a nice special teams touchdown coming their way on Monday against the Dolphins. I can see it now.
Yeah.
Eric Gehrer, punt return.
There you go. Yeah, you know, you figure 98 would have to be a pretty big part of any sort of defensive effort to slow down the Dolphins. They are, and the Dolphins, you know, I still have questions about them as an AFC player once we get to January. But my goodness, when they get a middling to bad team, do they ever put some numbers up?
Well, they're on track right now to be the one seed in the AFC if they keep things going here. Jacksonville loses last night. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, it looked really bad with the way his ankle bent back. Apparently, it's just a sprain. Now, how severe a sprain it is, I have no idea, but it looked pretty bad. So the Jags are at 8-4. Houston's at 7-5. Indy's at 7-5. So you're talking about one game back, Houston and Indy are, of the Jags with Trevor Lawrence now going down with an injury. So the top part of the AFC South, very interesting, and then you have the Titans at 4-8.
Yeah. Tell me in August, three teams within a game of each other in the AFC South on December 5th. First of all, I'm shocked.
Yes.
Because I'm still looking at the Texans and Colts as like four-win teams this year. Second of all, and more importantly, I zero chance in my mind that the team that's left out is the Titans. I mean, it really is amazing if you think about it. Think about how wrong, I'll raise my hand, how wrong I was. How wrong a lot of us were. What a homer station we are.
Well, you know, we've talked about that. Like, the idea that they're as bad as they are is pretty incredible. Just based on what the national media was saying about them heading into the year and what the local perception of the team was. And a lot of that to me is like defense. Like the offense is not it's not like totally surprising to me that they've been as bad as they've been. The defense to me is where this team has just been unbelievably disappointing. And I know like you could look at the points per game that they've given up and it's not terrible. But the defensive performance on the field when you watch the game has been very disappointing. And by the way, it looks like the hamstring virus has caught Christian Fulton once again, according to Vrabel at the end of the press conference yesterday.
Yeah, so he's got five games left with the Titans, but he may not play in all five. So, but very, you know, he has rebounded from, you know, think about early season when he needed to be benched for good.
Yeah,
per some people, he's responded, you know, to that, but been a very disappointing season. Like, so the Titans are the one team that's left out. They're up there they have a chance at a top five spot. What if they would have fired Aukerman in the offseason? What would they be right now? 10-2?
Maybe. I think 7-5 was the official prediction.
What if they had fired Aukerman like in 2018? How many Super Bowl rings would they be sporting right now?
I don't know.
These are questions that people ask.
I said this earlier. We have talked, and this is, look, I get it. I get it this week because, I mean, they just fired the coach yesterday. But really over the course of the last couple years, a lot of energy being spent on the special teams coordinator. Maybe more so than any other market in the league.
You know, the thing is, people always
I
do too. We are a special team city. People always get into these hires for OC, obviously, and D coordinator. I mean, let's get a hot list of candidates for the Titans special teams coordinator job. Why does that never happen? Why don't people get into that stuff?
How many other special teams coordinators around the league can you name? I can name one.
Who you got?
Rich Bisaccia. He's a Packers special teams coordinator. He's very good.
Who the heck is the Ravens guy?
Oh, I don't know.
But he's really good.
I'm sure he is.
The Ravens guy. Okay, this is like Tecmo Bowl when Bernie Kosar would sign with him. So it was QB Browns, and Jim Kelly was QB Bills, and Randall Cunningham was QB Eagles.
Yeah.
Ravens special teams guy is who the Titans should try to hire away.
That's right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight as they take on the Chicago Blackhawks, you will win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks on the road. They'll be back at home on Thursday. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. The listeners in first place with 6 correct answers. Joe Rex Road in second with 4 on the season. Nick Heiser in third with 3 correct answers. I continue to be in last place with two correct answers. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Connie. Connie, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I'm going to go for Sissons. I really think he is going to do it tonight.
Awesome. Connie, thank you for calling in. Colton Sissons, who, by the way, is off to a very good start this year. Three shorthanded goals for Colton Sissons so far this year. So he is playing very well.
I like it. If it's a shorty, is that 2 points for the listener? No.
I don't think they need help with the competition. But
that's true. We don't need to help them.
It probably should be worth 2 points. Sissons off the board. Joe, as fate would have it, I am up first in the competition today. And I will go with Philip Forsberg, who continues to score goals. And we'll see if he can score tonight when I pick him. So Sissons and Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexroad, you are next. Your pick to click in the competition.
Why can't you have a little creativity, you know? Go on a limb a little bit.
I've gone live out a on little. A limb, and it hasn't worked.
I'll go O'Reilly.
What about you? Why can't you go out on a limb?
Well, I am. I'm saying
where's Luke Shen?
I think anything but Forsberg right now is going on a limb.
Sissons, Forsberg, O'Reilly off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I tell you what, he had two goals against the Blackhawks last time. Give me Cole Smith. Ooh. I think he's back on the board tonight.
Now there's off the board. I like it.
Wow.
So Colton Sissons, Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, and Cole Smith, the selections. Joe Rexroad, your reaction?
Yeah, Cole Smith, man. That's the fact that he's been picked, multiple times?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That is, you know what, that saves the whole thing from you doing the obvious thing with Forsberg. So thank you, Nick. Hey, I have special teams coach info.
Do you? Okay.
The show ends.
Let's do it.
The guy I was thinking about was Jerry Rosberg.
Okay.
Now, he actually retired in 19, but he was a guy with the Ravens for like forever.
2019. Okay. I thought you were going to say he retired in like 1998. I was like, well, that's a long time ago.
Oh, no. Also, for anybody who wants to know more about this, my guy Rick Gosselin, okay, Hall of Fame writer, Michigan State grad, fantastic. He has rated special teams in the NFL forever. Go to rickgosselin.com. And some names that I can't believe I forgot, like Joe Judge. He ranks like all-time greatest, Joe Judge. But the best is probably Dave Tube from the Chiefs. He's also one of those guys. And did you know, by the way, two guys who came in the 60s as special teams coaches and vaulted their careers from there? Dick Vermeil and Marv Levy. How about that?
Boy.
How about that?
Nice.
So it's Joe Judge. I mean, of course. I mean, Joe Judge got a head coaching job because he was such a good special team coach. You don't see that every day.
You do not. Joe, quick questions
for
you.
Didn't work out, but he was a good special teams coach.
If Jalen Milroe got hurt in the SEC title game, would Alabama be in?
No.
If Quinn Ewers got hurt in the Big 12 title game, would Texas be in?
Again, get hurt and this is – I
not available quickly. Play.
Yeah, as long as like you know it's serious. That is one thing people have brought up that I think is fair, the idea of is this going to encourage people to like lie about / hide injuries?
You'll never know the severity of a quarterback injury again.
If we're talking clearly season over, leg wrecked, like with Travis – both of them aren't in.
I'm just saying.
This is not a huge – it has to be. If you are charged with putting in the best four teams, which they are, not the best resumes, not the most deserving, which they are, then how would you not take that into account? It's a massive deal.
Tennessee beat South Carolina last year. They're 11-1. Hendon Hooker's out the rest of the year. Do they get in the college football playoff with Joe Milton at quarterback?
No.
So – I don't think this is necessarily like a new thing. Like the one example is Cardale Jones, and I've talked about why that was the case. He came in and played unbelievable, and they won 59-0 in the one game of sample size that you saw with Cardale Jones as quarterback. I mean, what you do when you have the opportunity matters.
And I believe that if they had won a grinder and he looked terrible, that I believe they would not have gotten in. I know some people are just like, nah. Whatever the brand is, it's about ratings. Dude, the committee deserves plenty of criticism, and it's, as someone said, I said it was a tough job earlier, like, oh, yeah, tough job sitting in a boardroom. But still, like, you're going to take a lot of criticism. Also, Florida State
is not McNeese State or anything out there. They've got a good enough brand on their own.
The ratings are going to be good, and every year that they don't have to play on New Year's Eve because of the NFL. So the ratings are going to be good. And, you know, that's not what they're doing. And in fact, they did the right thing. I wish more people could recognize that. I texted Mitch Light because someone asked on the text line, what about Mitch?
Yeah.
Well, he's on the wrong side of history, too. So,
oh, boy.
Kyle and I are going to storm the New York Times offices with our Roll Tide signs and just take over the place.
That's right. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.